The American Civil War was a military conflict between the Union and the Confederate States of America. It was a war that lasted 4 long years, from April 12, 1861 to May 26, 1865. The Civil War is sometimes called the War Between the States or the War for Southern Independence. While the war took more than 600,000 lives and destroyed property value somewhere around $5 billion, it also brought freedom to some 4 million black slaves. And you know, nearly 2,000 years ago, on a hill outside of the Jewish capital of Jerusalem, another victory was won. The life of one paid for the freedom of millions. Jesus gave his life to set mankind free from slavery to sin. Our text today deals with the reality that Jesus died for you and for me. He died to set us free. If you haven't already, would you open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. That's what we want to look at this morning. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Paul points out things here that every believer has received from God through Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice with me 4 things that Jesus did for me and for you. 4 things that He did. Well, you know, the first thing He did was He rescued me. He rescued me. In the first part of verse 13, it says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. And that word delivered is the same word that Jesus used in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13 when He said, in what we know as the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from the evil one. It's also used by Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 when he says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Amen? That's the kind of God that we have. And I'm so glad. Because there's a lot of temptation, isn't there? There's a lot of things that are pushing and pulling at us to get into sin. But God's Word says that God is able to deliver us from that. Not just from the sin and the power of sin, but from the very temptation that draws us into the sin. Peter's telling us that. And that word delivered means to rescue. It's that simple. It means to rescue. The Greek word that's translated deliver means to rescue. It pictures the drawing of oneself in the same way that a lifeguard would pull someone who's drowning to himself in order to save him. What a beautiful picture. Someone who's drowning, who's going down, and isn't going to come back up again, and the lifeguard reaches out and pulls that person to him or herself and brings them to safety. That's the imagery that was in the hymn that we sang earlier today. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. The other word that's in that phrase is power. And it refers to a kind of tyrannical, lawless kind of power that just rules ruthlessly. This is how God's Word describes the rule of Satan and his demons over the unsaved. What Paul was making clear is that before a person is saved, the most evil person, the most good person, before a person is saved, he or she is controlled by the devil's power and is walking in disobedience to God's rule. And anyone who does not have Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, God's Word says, is a slave to sin. Not just that occasionally sins here and there, but is a slave to sin. That's the pattern of their life, and they can't help it. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 22 says, his own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he's caught in the cords of his sin. He can't help himself. He's a slave. John chapter 8 and verse 34, Jesus answered him and said, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Only in Christ do we have the freedom to make a choice as to whether or not we will sin. The unsaved has no choice. He may do some good things. He may even do some good things for a while. But ultimately, the slavery wins. Ultimately, the power of the enemy wins. Before we come to Christ, we are slaves to sin. And the worst thing about it is, we don't know it. We don't know it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. He says, correct. And he says, those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Without God's grace, can't know the truth. And that they may come, listen, to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Person doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior, can't help himself. He's a slave to sin, and he doesn't even know it, doesn't even realize it. His eyes need to be open to the fact that he's a slave. People who do not know Jesus cannot escape bondage to sin, no matter how hard they try. But when we turn to him in faith, he breaks the chains of sin and sets us free. He draws us to himself. That same imagery. Rescue us from the power of darkness. Not only did he rescue me from the slavery to sin, but he reestablished me. In the second part of verse 13, it says, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. I love that imagery. That he rescued us, and then he brought us to somewhere. The word translated conveyed, it literally means to be transplanted. We're slaves, we're stuck over here, and he lifts us out of there, and he replants us. He reestablishes us over here inside of his kingdom. I mean, how many people do you know, and maybe your own yourself, when you think back to before you came to know Christ, you didn't think that you were doing anything wrong. You didn't think that you were rebelling against God. You didn't think that you were in any pattern of sin. You thought you were okay. And how many people do you know who are just completely blind to the lives that they live in relationship to God? We need to be plucked out of that situation and placed in God's kingdom. You see, he changed my destiny. I was on one of those super fast trains right straight to hell. And Jesus changed it and turned my direction on a train to heaven. He changed my destiny. And not only did he change my destiny, but he changed my citizenship. I'm no longer... I have to live here as an ambassador. I have to live here as a minister in this world. But my citizenship is no longer here in this world. My citizenship is in heaven, and I'm just passing through now. I'm living here as his servant, but my citizenship is in heaven. Whereas before I come to know Jesus Christ, this was my citizenship. But he changed my destiny, and he changed my citizenship. Continuing with the theme of hymns and hymn illustrations, in loving kindness, Jesus came. My soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, through grace, he lifted me. From sinking sand, he lifted me. With tender hand, he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me. Jesus didn't rescue me to leave me. He didn't just take me out of there, out of the slavery to sin, and just set me down and go on the way. No, he rescued me in order to place me in his kingdom. Not only to give me liberty, but to give me the opportunity to live in that freedom. thousands of people each year immigrate legally to the United States. Did you know that? There are a whole lot of legal immigrants coming to the United States. Thousands of them every year. And they're coming to seek a better life. They don't simply want to be liberated from the citizenship of their former country. No, they want the opportunity to live and enjoy the life in this country. And that's what God wants for us. He wants to take us from where we were in the life we were living, which was in total rebellion to Him and His ways, and He wants to place us in His kingdom to live for Him and to serve Him and to enjoy all the benefits of that. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, the apostle makes it clear that we can't help ourselves. So, He rescued me, He reestablished me in His kingdom, and third, He redeemed me. In verse 14, the first part of it, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. God created us and gave us life. But because of Adam's sin, we all are born with a sinful nature now. Every last one of us. And while promising freedom and joy, our sin nature just sold us into slavery to sin. Our sin nature promises us so many things. It promises all kinds of good things to us. You're going to enjoy this. You're going to like this. This is going to be good for you. But it just takes us right into slavery to sin. And it's a slavery that we are incapable of getting out of. We can't pay the price that's necessary for freedom. And that's what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. He says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The things that we consider value, gold and silver. Today, the analysts are saying, you know, if you really want to make sure you've got some good strength in your financial portfolio, you need to buy some gold. What God's Word is saying is, you know what? The things that you think are the most valuable, the things that you can use to buy everything and get everything you want in this world, doesn't help in God's economy. Silver and gold are worthless in God's economy. You can't pay the price that's necessary for your freedom from slavery. The price that was paid is the only price that's acceptable, and that was the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. There's nothing we can do to get out of it. There's nothing at all. With His blood, Jesus brought us back from slavery. He paid the purchase price. That's what it means to be redeemed. In the ancient world, slavery was an everyday reality. In fact, some of the Christians to whom this letter was written were probably slaves. They understood the concept of being bought and sold. So the idea of being redeemed or brought back from slavery was very applicable to them. They understood that in their lives. The black educator and founder of Tuskegee Institute, Booker T. Washington, in his autobiography, Up From Slavery, he records how he came to understand the freedom granted him under the Emancipation Proclamation. This is what he wrote. He said, I was born a slave on a plantation in Franklin County, Virginia. I'm not quite sure of the exact place or exact date of my birth, but at any rate, I suspect I must have been born somewhere and at some time. As nearly as I have been able to learn, I was born near a crossroads post office called Hales Ford. And the year was 1858 or 1859. I don't know the month or the day. The earliest impressions I can now recall are of the plantation and the slave quarters. The latter being the part of the plantation where the slaves had their cabins. My life had its beginning in the midst of the most miserable, desolate, and discouraging surroundings. He wrote of the moment also when he learned that he was free. He said, the most distinct thing that I now recall in connection with the scene was that some man who seemed to be a stranger, a United States officer, I presume, came, made a little speech, and then read a rather long paper, the Emancipation Proclamation, I think. After the reading, we were told that we were all free, and we could go when and where we pleased. My mother, who was standing by my side, leaned over and kissed her children while tears of joy ran down her cheeks. She explained to us what it all meant, that this was the day for which she had been so long praying, but fearing that she would never live to see. For some minutes, there was great rejoicing and thanksgiving and wild scenes of ecstasy. Abraham Lincoln, on seeing a slave offered in New Orleans on the slave block, is said to have commented, "There was a rising hatred inside of me against slavery. And I swore if someday I could do something about it, I would do something about it." In the same way, God hated the slavery we sold ourselves into. And He was willing to do whatever it took to buy us back, to set us free. He did that when He sent Jesus Christ to the cross. He redeemed me. And finally, He released me. The second part of verse 14, it says, the forgiveness of sins. When you and I place our trust in Jesus, asking Him to forgive us of our sins, do you know what He does? He applies the blood of Jesus to our hearts. The sins that stained and marked us are erased. They're not simply whitewashed and covered over, but they are erased. Psalm 103, verses 11 and 12 reads, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us." Amen. Praise God. Jesus paid the price for my sins. He took upon Himself the penalty of my sins. He erased all of the charges that were against me, and He set me free by sending my sins away. Isaiah also, in Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6, he speaks of it. He said, "Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all." And the hymn we sang this morning declares, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. How does this impact the way that we live? Well, we can apply this truth to our lives. You know, I can live free from the power of sin. I don't have to be controlled by sin. I can't just say, well, I can't stop. I can't do it because I have the power to stop. I have the power to change the patterns in my life because Jesus broke that power that was held over me that kept me a slave to sin. I can now live in the kingdom of God under His authority, and I don't have to live any longer in the kingdom of darkness under the enemy's control. I don't have to. I can live in freedom, and I can live by His power. Since He bought me, I belong to Him. That means He takes care of me, but it also means that I do what He wants. No longer do I set the agenda. No longer do I decide what it's going to be. I now live according to His will, not according to my will. Because it's very easy for us in our human nature to do our will in His name. For us to do what we want to do and then say, God blessed it. Because you see, if I do it and it comes out the way I like, I go, oh, well, praise God. And you know what? That might have been totally the opposite of what God wanted in my life. And it just happened to work out. A lot of stuff is blamed on God that we do in our own will. But you see, I've been empowered, I've been freed, and I can live for God and I can do what He wants to do, and that's what He expects me to do. I can live free from the penalty, from the guilt, and from the shame of sin. Everything that happened in my life, the sin that I committed, I don't have to be ashamed of that anymore. God forgave me because of Jesus Christ. I don't have to live guilty. I don't have to be reminded over and over and over and over again of the sin that I committed. I don't have to. I can live in freedom because there's no more penalty, because Jesus took that penalty on Himself. There are many Christians. I hope you're not one of them, but maybe you are. There are many Christians who live defeated lives. There are many Christians who live burdened down by guilt and shame over long forgiven sins that Jesus has paid for and have already been dealt with. And you know why? Because the devil has disabled them. They don't live in the joy and the freedom that's rightfully theirs because of Calvary. It's not that they have not been set free. It's that so many Christians have never grown to understand what freedom really is. Historian Shelby Foote, in his book, The Civil War, he wrote about the freedom given to slaves in this country. And he says, the black slaves were set free. Theoretically, it became legal as early as the first day of the year, 1863. In what has become to be known as the Emancipation Proclamation. The word spread, in the words of one historian, from Capitol Hill out across the city, down into the valleys and fields of Virginia and the Carolinas, and even into the plantations of Georgia and Mississippi and Alabama. Slavery, legally abolished, read the headlines, and yet something amazing took place. The greater majority of the slaves in the South went right on living as though they were not emancipated. They continued throughout the Reconstruction period to do that. He wrote, the Negro remained locked in a caste system of race etiquette as rigid as any had known in the formal bondage, and that every slave could repeat with equal validity what an Alabama slave had mumbled when asked what he thought of the great emancipator whose proclamations had gone into effect. He said, I don't know nothing about Abraham Lincoln except that they say he set us free. And I don't know nothing about that neither. How tragic. A war had been fought. The document had been signed. Slaves were legally set free. The word is emancipated. And yet, most continued to live out their years, and many of their children, some of their years, in fear, saying, I don't know nothing about that neither. In a context of freedom, slaves chose to remain slaves, though they were legally freed. Even though emancipated, they kept serving the same master throughout their lives, and sadly, many Christians do the same thing. Many Christians, having been set free by Jesus Christ from their old life and transported into the new kingdom with all of its power and freedom, continue to live those old lives. Continue to allow the enemy to lie to them that they're still slaves. That they need to be guilty for the sin that's been forgiven. They need to be ashamed for the lives they lived. But we've been set free. We have no more shame. We have no more reason to feel guilty. We've been set free. And we need to live in that freedom. We need to live in the power that's given to us because of that freedom. We need to live in God's kingdom in this world. Let me ask you, are you living in the joy? Are you living in the freedom? Are you living in the power that's available to you as a Christian, as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven?